publicly yesterday saying that NFL officials are kind of marking their territory a little bit with pace and tempo. I know you talked to them about, you know, how fast the snap can be. Is there much to do about nothing, or is the NFL kind of marking their
territory? I didn't read the gist of the article. Just happy that I made it to the Wall Street Journal once. That's pretty cool. But We understand the rules of engagement. Dean Blandino and those guys in the league office met with them at the league meetings. They were here when we had minicamp. I have absolutely no issue with them. We actually embrace the way they're doing it. So really similar to what we had in college. Tony Carreni, who's a longtime official in this league, was actually the head of the Pac-12 officials. So we're used to the style that they run. I mean, I see absolutely no problem with it. We're excited to work with them. So.
Are there any differences, though, in the way they did it in college and what you're expecting?
No, if we sub, they got to match it. They're going to get the ball spotted into play. You know, it's really very similar. I don't anticipate any problems. And I know when we talk to, when I talk to Dean and they explain it to us, no issues from our standpoint.
Are you getting refs here for a few days on campus?
Yeah, they'll be here tomorrow, and then they'll be here when the Patriots are here. So there's a certain amount of days you can practice with them. We wanted to get some of our own time underneath our belt, and we worked with them when we were in minicamp, and, you know, we'll work with them here. So,
was the pace one of the things you might have talked to Bill Belichick about since he did that last year? Did he have any issues with
him? Nah, I didn't talk anything about that with him. So it's not an issue for us whatsoever. I never thought it was. We understand the rules, and we'll play by them. You know, it's a real simple concept to me that if the speed's limit 65, even though I want to go 85, if there's a cop out there, you're not going 85. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a real simple concept. So we're not going to change them. So I like them. So we're excited to play with them. So.
One of the points of the article is that they want to limit the play to a certain extent so because of injury factors, that maybe you increase the risk of injury if you run more plays. Do you ever do any studies, or people around you do any studies about that at Oregon, about the amount of plays or teams that play you?
No, I think sometimes people throw answers out there before they know it. You know, I think a lot of things we do, we're more spread out than a lot of people. So I would say you should do a study on injuries when all these people are crammed in a small box. I don't know. I mean, I have not done a study on it, though. So, you know, I just think, just tell us what the rules are. We always play by the rules, so.
Chip, when the Patriots are in, will you guys be together for individuals or split?
We'll be split for individual. We'll do all our team stuff and 7-on-7 and 1-on-1s against each other, but we'll be split for, you know, the first portion of practice. I mean, they're individuals. Obviously, what they do and what we do are certainly different, so there's no reason for us to try to learn what they do or for them to learn what we do. So we'll be split for the first part of it, and then, you know, basically 1-on-1, 7-on-7, and 11-on-11 will be against each other.
So will there be any opportunities for, you know, say, your quarterbacks and their quarterbacks to try to get together and learn from each other?
No.
Will
it mostly be this isn't summer camp. No.
Will you have multiple 7-on-7?
We'll have multiple 7-on-7s is what we talked about, and then we'll do team on one field, but we'll do 7-on-7s and 1-on-1 at separate locations. So.
Chip, what are your early impressions in that part? How you sort of figured out what you wanted to
do? Yeah, first off with Matt, I think he brings a unique set of experiences. Because he was a four-year starter in high school, along with being a four-year starter in college. You know, not a lot of guys have started for 8 straight years before they become a rookie in the NFL. So he's played a lot of football. He played at a great high school and had a great high school coach. It was a pretty advanced system he ran in high school, and obviously played in a real good system at USC. So I think he brings a wealth of experience, even though he is a rookie. The other thing with Matt that I love is he's a football junkie. You know, he eats the game up. He lives it and breathes it, and you know, he's in here early. He's always wanting to watch film, always wanting to get better. So I think, to have a young guy that has that type of experience, and then also match that with an insatiable taste for the game, I think it's a great combination. So he's been outstanding so far.
Connor Barwin, aside from the fact that he's one of the few outside linebackers you had that's played in the 3-4 in the NFL, what else does he kind of bring to defense?
I would say first off is his leadership. You know, when you bring new guys in that weren't here before, and you know, he just automatically fit in. And I think the first thing you do is lead by example. And one of our best guys in the weight room, you know, one of those guys that's here every day watching film. He's another gym rat type of guy. You know, I want to have a lot of those guys around here. Makes our job a lot easier when you got guys that are like that. So, you know, from day one we got him. He's been in the NovaCare every single day working at it. With his athleticism, I think you can do a lot of different things with him. You can rush him. He's obviously got a certain set of pass rush skills that he can show. I think it was 2 years ago I think it was 10 sacks or whatever he had 2 years ago. But he also has the ability to cover, you know, and I think that's where you're trying to figure out with those outside linebackers and play into their strengths, you know. obviously you want guys that can rush a passer, set an edge, and drop into coverage, and he can do all three. And that makes him a little bit more versatile in terms of us being able to put him in different spots out there. So.
Chip, with Polk, you saw him for many years in the Pac-10. He's obviously different than you said. He's not 15 pounds, so it looks a little bit differently for your camp. Same type of guy, though. I mean, are you seeing similar?
From Chris, yeah, I think in the last couple of days you've really seen Chris show up. I thought he had a great practice when we were in the stadium. Hit a couple really nice runs today. Really, truly understands the blocking scheme, so he's pretty patient in terms of, you know, understanding, letting the blocks develop. And then, but when he sees them, then sticking his foot in the ground and taking off. So I think the last couple of days he's really come across. You know, I did see him in college. He was a workhorse for Washington. You know, when he was really the guy you had to stop. You know, but he has versatility and catch a ball coming out of the backfield. I think he's not just a one-dimensional guy either. So,
Chip, you mentioned the cop analogy. I mean, when you say that, are you going to be first couple games maybe you testing them, them testing you to see exactly how fast you can go?
No, and please don't write that. I'm not testing anybody. I'm just giving you an analogy. We certainly know the rules, and we understand how it's going to go, and so it's a non-issue to me. So,
in losing Jason Phillips, what effect does that have?
It does. You know, I think he was one of the reasons we thought about him. I think we have two linebackers in D'Amico and Michael Kendricks who we're excited about, but it added depth at the inside linebacker spot, but really was a standout special teams player. And, you know, I think it's four games a year are decided by 3 points or less, you know, over the last 25 years if you study this league. And so a lot of times it really does come down to the kicking game and all those valuable yards or yards that people don't really see. You know, does he do a great job of covering punts so that punt return is a 2-yard punt return instead of a 12-yard punt return? The hidden yards in the special teams games is huge. And when you lose an integral player like that, I think it's it's a tough thing for us. He was great in kick cover. He was great in punt protection and punt cover. He was real valuable in punt rush. He was going to be on the front line of kickoff return. So he was a four-team special team guy. So, you know, you're really losing an integral guy, really a starter on special teams as we look at it. So, but we feel like if there's only any silver lining, it was early enough where we can get a chance to really look at those other guys and see who develops and who emerges into that spot.
In Oregon, were your players required to wear a thigh and knee pads?
Yeah, that's a college rule.
And so, but now a lot of the players here are required to wear them because the league is mandating it. Have they voiced you any difference in how they run?
No, you know, we met about it. It's a league rule. Number one, I think how the rules enforce it, it's a penalty on your team, number one. And then number two, you're out of the game. So you can complain all you want about the rules, but they're not going to let you play if you don't have them in. So, and we weighed ours, you know, the ones that are approved by the league. And I think it went from thigh pads, they were 1.6 ounces to 4 ounces is actually the weight of them. So it's, I think sometimes it's more of a mental thing than a physical thing. So I don't think they've had any issue. When we've been in full and we've been in it for a couple of days, they've had them all in, you know, and it's a rule was put in place for safety. So, you know, we'll adhere by the rules. So it's not one of those interpretive rules where you can kind of say, I don't think I'm going to agree to that one, because if they see you without them, they're going to take you out of the game. So, you know, it's an interesting rule. Not many rules sit you down, and this one sits you down. So I think if someone does do it, you know, they're going to be out, and also they're going to hurt the team. So I don't anticipate that being a problem with our guys.
What have you seen from Michael and Nick on the field, and what kind of progression, if any, have you seen them make here in the first week or so?
I see them understanding better what we're doing. When really how camp works is you insert, and then you start going back to where you started inserting. So, you know, you're repeating plays on today that we had put in on day one. So they're starting to get more familiar. You don't expect any of them on day one when you insert everything to know everything like that. So they're starting to get more familiar. The other thing you start to see is what they feel comfortable with. You know, what type of plays are, you know, Mike a little bit more comfortable with? What type of plays is Nick more comfortable with? And then you start to get a feel as they start to express themselves. You know, a lot of conversations go on now. What do you like? Hey, if we're throwing drop back, what's your choices in drop back? What do you like? You know, because it really doesn't matter what we like as a coaching staff. It's what our players can execute. So the more we get a chance to get familiar with them and they get familiar with the entire offense, that's what you're starting to see. Things start to round into shape. Like, all right, you know, he made the right decision on that again. He starts to feel, and is almost you're kind of looking at him as is the game slowing down for them. You know, it's not kind of going crazy. And I think if you ask every one of them, I think the game is slowing down for them. So.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen for all those guys. You know, I mentioned it to Trent Colton. I think the game's starting to slow down for Trent. Trent's starting to get comfortable out there and starting to feel in position, because you're asking him. You know, it's an interesting thing we're asking them to do. You know, you ask them to learn a new skill quickly, to execute in a certain amount of time with a lot of people watching, And then if you make a mistake, don't think about it, line up again and repeat it. You know, so it's a process, and it's a learning process, and part of the learning process is doing it. And the only way you can get better at it is if you do it and you make a mistake and then we correct it. Now, if they continue to make the same mistake over and over again, you know, that's not evident, and that's not what we're getting out of those guys. Usually, they one time when they make a mistake, they can correct it. But a lot of times, as you go over all the scenarios in the meeting room, you cover them, but then you got to put them in that situation, and they got to see it. You know, they got to see that outside linebacker hanging and really getting ready to drive on that flat ball. But you know, you can talk about it in a meeting all you want, but until you put them in that situation, then they see, all right, that's what you mean. All right, now I got it. Now I need to throw the ball inside instead of outside. So,
Chip, is Boykin getting as many reps on the outside as slot? How would you evaluate him?
I don't know.
But you said you wanted to give him a chance.
Yeah, he's getting both. I mean, I couldn't sit here and tell you I know exactly how many he's getting inside or outside. I know he's playing both, but I couldn't tell you the exact number. But
does it seem like he's making plays no matter where he is right now?
Yeah, I've seen Brandon show up. You know, I talked to him about it the other day. I think Brandon's had a nice camp so far. So,
Chip, how scary is it when you see somebody the caliber of Jason Peters going early? And do you have any early feeling
how scary is it?
Yeah, I mean,
he said he was okay. I wasn't overly concerned. I'll go in and check. And I don't get any, again, and I'm not being evasive, I don't get any updates while I'm on the field. I just know if they're out, so we need to sub and practice. So I don't get an update of it was this, or this. So.
No,
but Jason didn't see, I didn't see anything. You know, when I saw Mac a couple days ago, you know, you kind of knew it was pretty serious. You know, I think because Mac knew it was pretty serious. So I didn't get that feeling from Jason, but I truly don't know. I'll get it when we go inside so I can report tomorrow.
Chip, how much of the offense do you have in install so far?
Most of it. I don't know the exact number, but we're getting there.
So will it all be in for the first preseason game?
Yeah, but we won't call it all in the first preseason game, but we'll have everything that we're going to run in before that. You know, we're talking, you come in 15 days before your first preseason game, so it'll be in, but then it will, what we select will be pared down for that game itself, you know what I mean? So,
but you'll have kind of a full selection for the different quarterbacks to get what they're talking.
Yeah, but we won't be able to practice all that, so it's not, right. We're not going to have our entire offense game as a game plan for the Patriots. It'd be to select them out, because again, it's still a big evaluation period for us, and you know, it's live, there's officials, it's tackling, it's the whole nine yards. You know, you're getting a kind of a simulated run at a legitimate game, so we won't have such a vast array of plays in that we're handcuffing our guys and they're out there thinking. We need them to go out there and execute. So.
Two more questions.
We haven't talked about that yet, Jeff.
Jim, how much interaction? What kind of role do you have in the roster moves? Are you involved in this as much as you are in the offseason?
I didn't understand the question.
The roster moves, when you're adding a guy?
Yeah, I'm totally involved in that.
Even at this time of year?
Yeah. Any time of year, we talk all the time. I meet with Howie every day, and you know, where are we? What are we going to do? You know, trying to wait, like in Jeremy's situation, Jason's. What's the extent of it? What are we going to do if we put him on IR? Are we going to bring somebody in? All those. So we talk about that stuff on a daily basis. So it doesn't. I don't think it really matters what the time of year doesn't have any. That's why I was off a little bit. The time of year has no indication of. You know, it's not like we're practicing, so I can't talk to you. You know, our offices are right next to each other, so we can at least spend a couple minutes, and we do. We spend a couple minutes every day just catching up on personnel, where we are, what's going on in the league, who got released, wherever. And so we got a pretty good feeling of who it is. You know, again, at this point in time, there's not a lot of roster moves you can make. You know, if you look at the wide receiver position in particular, and that's obviously, we were down a couple guys, now Regis is coming back, but when we were down three and you're starting to look at what maneuvers do you make, if you carry 11 or 12 receivers, there's 32 teams in the league, so there's 352 to 384 receivers already under contract. You know, so when you're really having a discussion, you're talking about the 385th receiver out there. You know, so it's, you know, there's not a lot, and you don't get to say, hey, we really want that guy. I think he's going to be an outstanding player. There's not a lot to pick from now. I think a lot of discussions then go in that first cut down to 75, because then there's some guys that you like or you think are a good fit that may be available, and then even a bigger discussion when you make that cut down to 53. But on the whole process of that, we meet on that every day. So. His numbers?
Yeah.
He was really good, and I was smart enough to call plays that let him go play. When you have a really good player, we fed him. You know, at that level, he was just a lot better than everybody else. You know, and his numbers were phenomenal, but I think all the credit goes to him. And the other credit is he had a really good quarterback, too. You know, Ricky Santos is one of the all-time best passers in 1AA history and has played in the you know, was in the Kansas City Chiefs camp, was in the CFL for a long time, and was an outstanding football player. So we had a bunch of really good players that played with him. But, you know, you had two of the most dynamic quarterback-receiver combination to ever play. So it's like anything else. When you get in those situations, you get out, you know, let those guys play and get out of the way. So that's what we did.